Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, and he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there are in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Second of three messages out of the book of Nehemiah, I want to make a couple of statements similar to what I made last Sunday morning. So it's a series, so I need to do that much anyway as far as tying the messages together. Fundamental Baptist Church in Chippewa County, a rural county in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, is not a perfect church. We have not arrived. In fact, we are not everything we are supposed to be. Ought to be an amen right there. Now listen, one of my main ameners is not here this morning. He is out of town. He tipped me off. He was going to be gone. Now, we've got several people in different, and it just works out this way, in different locations in the auditorium. If you just say amen once in a while, that kind of encourages me. And it'll help other people to be a little bit attentive as well. And I'm not one of those kind of preachers searching for amen. You know, the preacher that preaches says something and says amen and does that about 10 times a paragraph. I'm not that kind of person. If God blesses your heart, man, you get right to it, all right? And you help the preacher just a little bit. We're not a perfect church. But I'll tell you what Fundamental is. It's a place to find God. If you're not here, if you're here and you're not born again, you're not saved. This is the place you can hear of Jesus and you can be born again. Fundamental is a place to grow personally in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fundamental is a place to raise your family with Bible values and it will help you in raising your family. Fundamental is a place, I like this one, to bring others. A place to bring others so they'll hear of Jesus and they too will be born again. And I don't want to scare you, and this is a message of vision. I preached on vision last Sunday morning, and I get to the meat, some of the meat of the message this morning, and kind of get to where we're going and what we're doing, and I want to challenge you. We're not done yet. We got a great work, a work of God that must be done. We live in a county of spiritual darkness. I'll say this first of all, and not dwell on it. There are a lot of churches that used to preach the gospel. They don't. People don't get saved there anymore. And they used to. Some people get saved. They get saved kind of almost accidentally because the word of God is used periodically, or they pick up a gospel tract or something like that. But it isn't a normal thing for people to walk the aisles and come to Christ. It isn't a normal thing for their church people to go out and be soul winners and tell others of the best friend they ever had. Tell others how they too can have forgiveness of sins and be part of the family of God. So God has raised up Fundamental Baptist Church for such a time as this. We're not alone. We're not the only ones. I'm not implying that. But I am saying this. We have got to get the job done. And we are not getting it done the way God has called us to get it done. It's big that you and I understand that. Go to Nehemiah here and look at that third verse, the verse we just read. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. The walls were down, the people were afflicted, they had become a reproach. The problem was realized. They had become ashamed, they were ashamed. And I want you to know, in this part of the state in which we live, and I know other parts of the state are the same way, but this is where we are, this is our Jerusalem, the walls are broken down. And this part of the state that we live in right now, in the eastern Upper Peninsula of Michigan, there's darkness. The people of God are in reproach. I'm talking about as a whole. And there's so many that don't even realize that. And they just, we're willing to maintain status quo, willing to be a maintainer, a custodian, if you will, and not a builder, and not a pioneer, and not a soldier, a soldier of the cross. There's so many just willing to lay back and sit on that proverbial lawn chair of life and just kind of let the world go by them. And man, we got to shake things up. We need old-fashioned revival. We need people on fire for God again. Somebody has got to care. In Nehemiah's day, enter Nehemiah. Here he is, a cupbearer for King Artaxerxes. He has, He has gotten to a place, a position of authority and a position of influence. He is somebody, even though he's a Jew, in a pagan land. And he's a cupbearer to the king. And he's willing, after hearing the condition of his homeland and of his people, he is willing to give it all up in order to accomplish God's work. And he does. He says goodbye to all the comforts of the day. He's willing to give it all. Somebody has got to care, just like Nehemiah cared in his day. It says, and his response, of course, was a burden and prayer. It was last Sunday morning's message. It came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and I wept and I mourned and I mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Somebody has got to cry out to God. Somebody has got to care. I know, the majority of the family of God is going to be swell, just sitting around, not doing much, just coming to church on Sunday. They'll be happy with that. But our county is not going to be reached for Christ with that kind of people. I'm glad you're here. I am, man. We're not kicking you out. I'm not doing that, man. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're in the pew. And I'm glad you're getting some Bible this morning. But I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to become something more. Are you willing to let go of everything you've got? Are you willing to say goodbye to the plushness of the palace? Are you willing to do whatever it takes for the glory of God? Nehemiah did that. And the walls were finished. An impossible task was finished in 52 days. An impossible task, 52 days. And Nehemiah didn't say goodbye then. He stayed on as governor and did not take pay for 12 more years. He stayed right there. Man, he planted his flag there in Jerusalem and he said, come hell or high water, good times or bad, live fat or die skinny, we're going to get the job done and we're going to live for the glory of God. That's what's got to happen at Fundamental Baptist Church. I want to say it one more time. If you're not interested in going all for God, going all out for God, I'm still glad you're here. I'm still going to love you and I'm going to be there when tragedy comes. And this church will try to be a blessing to you when the bottom falls out and difficulties come your way. Or you got another mountain you've got to climb. You don't have time for God today. I'm glad you at least got Sunday morning and you're here. But I want to challenge the rest of you. We got to be soldiers. The psalmist said, I looked to my right and I looked to my left and found no man cared for my soul. You know how many people in the world feel just that way this morning? Where is the church of Jesus Christ? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is the power of God in your life? Well, I do this and I do. Where's the power of God? Let's go back to Nehemiah in chapter 1. Nehemiah prays to God. He prays and asks God for his mercy. I'll not reread the prayer. He confesses his sin and national sin, the sin of his fathers. He understood that they were desperately in need. And he asks God for success. And according to Ezra in chapter 4 and verse 21, and that which has already happened with the king, he asks God for a miracle. He asks God to reverse the king's decision he has already made concerning Jerusalem. And he stands before the king, and let's go all the way down to that. He claims the promise. Oh, I got to read verse 9. This is part of his prayer, promise claim. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now he says just prior to this, Nehemiah says, listen, I know the word of God. And he's praying the word of God, just like praying John Hyde did. He's praying the Bible. He said, God, I know what you tell us in your book. If we turn from you, if we reject you, we're going to be chastised. The bottom's going to fall out. Bad things are going to happen. By the loving hand of God, he's going to chastise us if we're truly born again to bring us back to God. I recognize that, and we're there. 70 years of captivity. Man, we're experiencing what we've asked for. We rejected you. We turned our back on you. We set you aside. We kicked you to the curb. We want to do our own things. We're there, and now everything is going wrong. God, I'm praying for mercy, and I know the word of God, and the Bible promises, you made the promise to Moses, and you made the promise to all of us, that if we would turn back to you, if we would just turn back to you, that you would bless us again. In fact, the last words of verse 9, I have chosen to set my name there. This is the church age. We are part of the church of Jesus Christ. He says to the church this morning, if you'll not reject me, if you'll not kick me aside, if you'll put me in proper priority, no idols, you put me in first place in your life, you're willing to follow me, you're willing to repent of your sin, that's the place I have chosen to put my name. I've chosen to put my name there. That's what we want. Okay, God has blessed Fundamental Baptist Church. We know it. I know it. Man, I know it. The church was started in 1975, 76, I think it was. I came in 1981. It was a small group of people, and look what God has done. And all the glory goes to God. We've got, I totaled up the assessment of our buildings and as far as what we got insured for. Man, we've got almost $4 million worth of property, not including the camp, not including what's out there. And we ain't got nothing. I mean, we don't have any money, people. We're a blue collar kind of church. In fact, we don't even have collars, some of us. We're that kind of hardworking, dirt under your fingernails, get it done kind of people. And God, through the 38 years that I've been here now in January, some people have gone on home to heaven. And I can name people. They didn't have anything. They surrendered to God. God blessed them, and they gave it all right back to God. I mean, and over and over again. And those are the people that God has used to build this church. Can I say that a New Testament local church isn't built on pocket change and spare time? It's built on people totally committed to God. I mean, totally committed to God. There's a lot of ways to measure that. I don't measure that with just dollars and cents. That'd be foolhardy. But I mean, just you're all out for God. What the Bible says, that's what I am. I got to work on that, but that's what I am. You know, you just understand that. That's being, I ended the message last Sunday by saying this. I believe God wants a church of 1,000 in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. I still believe that. I have never wavered from that. Sometimes my faith is weak, but I have never wavered from that. I just believe that's the burden that God has put on my heart. And it isn't about 1,000 people. That's not what it's about. It's about a big church with a big impact on the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, where all kinds of individual people are getting born again and growing in grace. You say, man, God has so much, and there'll always be opposition. As a matter of fact, look at the, let's go to chapter 2. I'll get right to the preaching. Sanballat and Tobiah, you know, there's always people, they're the naysayers. They're always going to be those people. Remember the Muppets? They used to be on TV a long time. Remember the two old guys that sat up in the balcony all the time? Those kind of people are in every church. How many of you remember what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. Okay, so I don't have to belabor that. Two grumpy old men. I kind of always thought of them as deacons. I don't know. Not here. In other churches. But they always sat in there, it's never going to work. You know, they go back and forth all the time. And I'm thinking, Sanballat and Tobiah, there's always those people. Hey, pastor, I'm glad you got vision. 1,000 people, God bless them. You know, God bless them. That's like saying, you know, Lord bless him. That's like they say, he's pitiful. He doesn't know anything about real life. But, you know, God be good to him. You know, I'm telling you, I believe this with all of my heart. God wants Chippewa County for himself. Chippewa County for Christ. A few hundred people aren't going to get it done the way we ought. There's so much here. He goes before the king. He's afraid. It says in verse 2. He don't have the wherewithal. He knows that the king has no love for Jerusalem, none for the Jews, the Hebrews, none. He understands that the king has already made a command, an edict concerning this, and it isn't going to happen. But God has laid it on his heart, and he is just has enough faith. He's willing to trust God. It says in verse 2, then I was very sore afraid. Very sore afraid. He understood if the king was upset with him, his head comes off. It's happened 100, who knows how many times before. He understands that. He's the all-powerful potentate there in the land, all right? And he understands this. I said this last Sunday morning. I want to say it again. There's an element of fear in faith. Otherwise, it's not really faith. You know, to say I'm going to give $25 a week faith promise, and you know you got $25 a week, that really isn't faith promise. That's just promise. You know what I'm saying? But to step out beyond what you already have, that's faith. For Peter to get out of the boat, that took faith. The Bible tells us in Hebrews in chapter 11, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And over 20 times in Hebrews in chapter 11, those great heroes of the faith, it says, and by faith, Abraham. And by faith, Moses. And by faith, over and over and over again. Always faith. And I want to tell you what we have at Fundamental Baptist Church thus far, it's been of faith. You say, oh no, that's just people. No, it's of faith. It's of God. We have come this far by faith. And if we're going to go any further, our faith needs to be getting bigger all the time. Not just maintaining status quo. Chapter 2 of Nehemiah, real quickly again. Lo and behold, the king says, how much time you need? He says, well, I'm really not sure. And the king gives him papers. There's one more thing, king, we don't have any building material and we don't have any money. And the king gives him papers. So he's able to pass by other kings, and he's got the signed papers from Artaxerxes to give safe passage. And he goes to the head of the king's forest and provides all the timbers that they need. And not only that, he's got a military escort as well. Last two verses of the chapter. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. It grieved them. You know, there are people that hate the work of God. And they don't know God, but they hate the work of God. These were two men that when they saw the progress that was being made, some attention being paid to Jerusalem and the people of God, it grieved them. And they didn't go away. They stayed at it. And then we come to the vision that God gives Nehemiah, a plan devised. And I rose in the night, I and some few men with me, and neither told I any man of what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. If Nehemiah were to share some of what God had laid on his heart with some of those people, without those people being prepared by God, they'd have thought Nehemiah was crazy. You're nuts, Nehemiah. And I'm no Nehemiah, but I'm right on the outer fringe of normality. You know, I border on that craziness from time to time. And I want to tell you, 1,000 people, by the grace of God, if enough of us will follow God, is just the beginning. If I told you everything, and I may tell you everything before I'm done, depends how much guts I got before the end of this message. Let's read on to the next verse. He rose in the night. Verse 13 says, and I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down. Great work, a big work. And the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain, to the king's pool, and there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. That was really in a bad way. Then went I up in the night by the brook, and viewed the wall, and turned back, and entered by the gate of the valley, and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Nehemiah is a man of prayer. You know what he's doing? He's looking. He's praying. He's talking to God. He's walking the walls of the city and seeing different gates and the rubbish and the garbage that's everywhere, and the work is overwhelming. But God is laying this burden on his heart, and with an eye of faith, he's seeing what God is going to do. Many a time I've walked these grounds and prayed for God to bless. Many a time I drove by your house, I promise you, in the middle of the night and prayed for you. Unless you're new in the church, real new. From time to time, there's been a preacher on the road in front of your house praying. There's a work of God that must be done. And somebody's got to care. Somebody has got to care. Go back to verse 15. I'm sorry, verse 17. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. God blesses Fundamental Baptist Church because of God and his people. It's not because of the preacher. It's because of his people that are willing to get up on the wall and work for the glory of God. If you read chapter 3, these people are listed here. They worked shoulder to shoulder, rebuilding the wall. Opposition didn't stop. There were times they worked with a trowel in one hand and a sword in another. Man, the opposition just continually came at them, but they stayed at it. The people had a mind to work. Man, God has blessed us. If you can get beyond where we are today and see, you understand this is a good crowd this morning, but there's still a few empty seats. And if a Sunday night is the same as it was last Sunday night and the Sunday night before, there's going to be this many people here tonight, almost. The place is pretty full on Sunday night. People hungry for the word of God. And you understand, there are more people outside the building than are inside the building. Somebody's got to care about those people. Somebody's got to be concerned. Some of your loved ones and my loved ones and coworkers and people that aren't yet born again, we need to bring them to Christ. So he presents the vision. I'm not real good at this. I like preaching Bible, but I have a difficulty sharing with you maybe everything. This is a working church. There's no doubt about it. I'm proud of what we get done, but I'm also aware that we're just one step away from getting out of sorts and one step away from, look, what I'm doing too much and you're not doing enough and having that kind of selfish attitude of serving mammon and get what's in it for me, that kind of thing. And so far from the ministry, that could happen so easy, but this is a working church. Man, we had a sportsman's dinner last spring and we had 50 professions of faith. People that never entered the door of the church, the vast majority of them, and some from a long ways away, but we have 50 professions of faith, glory to God. We go from that, we're working school all the time. We go from that, we go right into a full summer of camp, and you include all the work weeks, and God bless you people that poured yourself into it this summer. Again, God bless you, and all the souls that were saved out there, and then we got the connector build, and then we had VBS last week, and we're going to go right into school, and then we got a week of school camp, and we've got the fair service out there on Sunday morning. And then we got old school. We've got a friend day coming up. It never ends. It goes on and on and on. And you look ahead and it gets you tired just thinking about it. There's got to be vision. There's a work that's got to be done. We need $28,000 to finish that up out there. I'm over figuring. I'm figuring that's what we need. We get her done. And you were in Sunday school this morning. You saw what was being done. You heard what was going to be done, how that building is going to be used for the glory of God and several different facets of this ministry. We're not done after that. We need bigger bathrooms and bigger nursery. We've already got the footprint already, you know, as far as a print. We're going out that direction on that end of the church for another entrance, nursery, big bathrooms instead of those little closets we got back there. And we got to stand in line and take a number between Sunday school and church. You know, big bathrooms back there. They'd be adequate for the size church we are. Knock that back wall out, go all the way back to the doors and the airlock back there, and we can put some more seats in. Right now, the way we are right now, without chairs, we can comfortably seat 431. I counted them up this morning to make sure. 431. If we knock out that roof or knock out that wall, we'll gain another 132. When we're done with that, we're not done yet. We got to knock that wall out and that wall out. We got to, you know, we get, and of course, junior church can be somewhere. I'm just telling you, I got vision. I know we worship the great God of heaven. And I know that he wants us to move ahead. Please, if you're going to be in the boat, we're glad you're here. But it'd be a whole lot better if you pick up an oar and start rowing a little bit. You know, get involved. Send some treasure on to heaven. Here, well done, thou good and faithful servant. God is never going to ask you how much money you saved. He's not going to do that. You read the parables, it's just the opposite that he asks. I said in Sunday school this morning, well, let's go back to Nehemiah chapter 2, because I want to get to all the way down here a little bit further. God provides greatly. God blesses. They go to work. The people strengthen their hands for this good work. Verse 18, opposition's still there. It's always persistent. It says in verse 19, the opposition laughed us to scorn. But you got to know this. The happiest people in the world are the people that are on the wall working. That's it. You read the book of Nehemiah, they're the happy people. They're up on the wall laying block. They're up on the wall laying stone, rather. They're building. They're sending up the timbers. They're the happiest people. They're in the work of God. That's why the job was finished in 52 days. A miracle. It was an impossible situation. And yet, because of God's blessing and the people had a mind to work, the people's determination, God was able to bless. Happiest people are on the wall. Not the two guys sitting in the balcony with the grumpy looks on their faces, complaining and critiquing everything that goes on. And don't be that guy. Be up on the wall. Now I want to help you in this last part of this message in a real way. Some of you have young families. Some of you have teenagers and you're struggling a little bit right now. Some of you are young adults and some of your kids are out of the home now. But there's bills to pay and there's difficulties along the way. These people had determination. And because of it, when they get to Nehemiah 8, there's a great celebration. I want to celebrate. I want to continue to celebrate the work of God. They had determination. Happiest people on earth. Oh, I got two things. I'm done. Two things I want to say. Let's go back to the side about being the happiest people on earth. They're the ones that are in the work. But I have learned this. I'm 61 years old. I learned it a little bit ago, and I finally realized, woke up and realized this is what needs to happen. I need to have vision. There's more to do, more walls to knock out, more homes to visit, more people to reach, more families to minister to, more people to help and to win to the Lord, more people to counsel. But in the middle of all of that, stop and smell the roses. Enjoy life. Enjoy what God is doing. I wonder how many people, those people up on the wall, their back sore, they're laying the stone, they're, you know, but they're fellowshipping one with another, and every once in a while they stand up to straighten up their back and they look around and, man, look how much is getting done. Glory to God. Look at the brethren that are working. Stop and smell the roses. Enjoy the blessings of God today, right now, while you're in the work, while you're in the harness. They're the happy people. And number two, don't quit on God. Let me encourage you. Some of you may look at an older families here and think, wow, they got it all together. I was doing some recollecting. That's a down south word. It means remembering, all right? I was doing some remembering this last week and all that God has done in my life and the life of my parents. And if you were to ask Dad today, he would tell you there were times in going to church, it was tough to go to church. There were times where he got cold and fell away from God and church wasn't all that important. But he kept coming back and getting right and going on for God. I am a pastor and my brother Bud is a missionary down in Bolivia. Christy's now married to a pastor. And we have his kids ended up serving God because mom and dad didn't quit. They never quit. I discouraged them. I chose poorly. They didn't quit. They kept staying on in church. They kept on going on for God. Now you look at them and you think, man, must be spiritual giants. Look what's come out of that household. And the dirty little secret is this. And I know Dad will tell you this. It wasn't always easy. Good decisions weren't always made. But he kept on keeping on for God. That's what you need to do as a young family and as an older family. And don't give up on God. Somebody discourages you along the way. Somebody throws in the towel and maybe you get a little bit off track. Your nose gets a little bent out of shape and man, it didn't happen in my way. And so you know, and you have your little pity party. And then God, the Holy Spirit smites your heart and says, hey, man, what do you got that I haven't given you? What are you complaining about? Want me to take away one of your children? What are you complaining about? And you go ahead and you get back and you get right with God and God uses you again. Nehemiah was a great leader. But Nehemiah was a great leader because he led a great people that were up on the wall and they were working hard. And I close this message this morning by telling you and asking you and letting you know that we need your help. That if we're going to have 1,000 people, it isn't going to be 3 pastors that get it done. It won't be 1 pastor that gets it done. It'll be 500 people that get it done. And I would encourage you, don't live for yourself. Don't lay up treasures here on this earth. It's all going away. I had a happy thought this morning. It just hit me, man. I was here in the auditorium praying and God was blessing and I was feeling real blessed of him and seeing what God is doing and he was reminding me of things that have happened. And then it hit me and I get heaven besides that. We're just a breath away from the better part of life. We're just a breath away from being in God's glory land. And I can say goodbye to this rotten old world in which we live. And the battle will be over. Man, it'll be good. And it'll be better than good. It'll be gooder than good. It'll be good. It'll be as good as it can possibly get. It'll be goodest. Man, it's going to be right up on. And God will be blessing us every day. I'm looking forward to that. And we get to be part of the church. The last days of the church age. We need your help. We need some people up on the wall.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.